Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Hello, church. Exciting to be here today for this week's online experience. Listen, open up your Bibles. It's going to be such a great time in God's Word here today to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to preach today about grasping God's love, getting a grip on the love of God, really appropriating God's love in our lives is the single greatest thing. It's the greatest revelation. The Bible says is that our salvation is a well, and when you draw from that well of salvation, that you're drawing from God's love, and His love transforms us, and His love grounds us, and His love is everything, and in everything, God's love needs to be. In the way we live our lives, in the way we conduct our relationships, in the way we build our worlds, everything. The power of God's love. There is nothing more powerful than the love of God. In fact, it was the love of God of the whole cause of Jesus dying on the cross for both you and I. And so just to really, really zone in on what we probably just throw out as Christian language, like, you know, God loves you and, you know, I know God loves me, and that can be a novel thought, but to really dive into it, to let it be a transforming love and to let it totally revolutionize your life and my life is just such an amazing, amazing gift. And in actual fact, we have no ability to be able to love anyone else around us or to truly live the lives that God is calling us to live unless we deeply receive God's love. And if you don't know that God loves you right now, well, I pray right now that as we dive into God's Word, as we dive into Ephesians 3, as we open up the Bible and we read about Christ, our Lord and Savior, and then we talk about His love, it's my prayer that you would feel it in this preach, that you would feel God's Spirit, you would feel His heartbeat towards you, that you would feel His love, and that you would let it come into your life. You would let it bypass some hardness of thinking or some hardness and calloused areas of life, and just let it totally, let your life be marinated in God's love. Amen? That's my prayer for you today, and so let's just get into it. Listen, so God's love will strengthen us, and we need strength right now. Like, as we're going through the COVID season, as we're encountering anxious times and fearful times, and as we're going through things that can present confusion and doubt and worry, we need God's love. We need it to strengthen us. You might feel weak today. You might feel exhausted today. You might feel depleted today. However you feel, that in God's love is where we find our source for life. And so in God's love, it empowers us and it gives us identity. There is so much that comes out of the love of God. And the Bible says in Ephesians 3 is that we need to be rooted and grounded in God's love. And without God's love, that means that we can be thrown around and tossed around. And that means that the world underneath us, the ground underneath us, the thing that is meant to be the foundation of our life feels absolutely shaky. And if that's you, if you're relating to that right now, the love of God, the love of God, you need the love of God. And so, I just remember this time when, you know, there's a lot of surf beaches in Australia, and there's this place called the Wilson's Promontory, which is the southernmost point of Australia that's connected to the mainland. And there's this beach there called Squeaky Beach. Like, literally, when you walk there, your feet squeak in the sand. And sometimes the current in surf waters, there'll be an undercurrent that will kind of rip out along the shoreline. And what it does is it pulls the sand away, and then the waves become very strong, shallow, and steep. And so the power of this water can feel like so overwhelming. And you know, I was about 10 years old at this time. I had my boogie board, like my bodyboard, and run out and trying to catch a couple of waves. And just the power of the ocean totally, it threw my board, my leg rope snapped off the board. I mean, it was probably a cheap board anyway, probably got it from the dollar store or something, but it snapped the board, and I remember tumbling in the water to the point where I didn't even know which way was up to get out of the water. Sometimes the waves would make you flip upside down, you hit your head on the bottom of the surface of underneath the water, and to try and just, and I remember fearing and feeling like this drowning feeling, or like I'm sucking in salt water, and where is air? Where is oxygen? And the urgency in this moment just to come up out of the water and like to just get air is like, man, it's everything. And I want to tell you, that is what the love of God is like sometimes. The love of God coming into our lives when everything can feel chaotic, when everything can feel upside down, when the forces of life and the pressures of life are throwing us around in life, the love of God is the thing that roots us and it grounds us, and it's life and oxygen to our world. So let's read it. This in Ephesians is one of the biggest prayers recorded in Scripture. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14-21. Let's read it. For this reason, I kneel. So this is Paul praying. I kneel in kneeling prayer before the Father, whom every family and heaven on earth derives its name, identity. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit on the inside in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, might have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. Somebody say grasp. To grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep the love of Christ is, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. How good is that? Everything comes out of the love of Jesus. And I love that Jesus is building his church right now. This is a very powerful book in the Bible. The first three chapters in Ephesians, Paul writes about the gospel, the New Testament gospel, that the Jews and the Gentiles are coming together to be unified in one family and one body. And this is the gospel. And this is what's happening all around the world right now, is that God is calling all peoples from every tribe and every nation. And he's saying, this is my body. This is my house. This is my church. A unified family, a unified people under one name, under one God, coming together. He's not looking for uniformity. He's looking to empower creativity and to empower individualism, but in one ultimate God-glorifying family. And we pray, and it's our prayer, that C3 Toronto would always fight to role model this kind of heaven reality on earth, that we would be this family of God, and that we would be a people of truth and peace. And all this is written in Ephesians: truth and peace and generosity and faithfulness and forgiveness and people of self-control and people of the Holy Spirit. That is who we are. That's what this church is. And that as we continue to build this church and fight for people and fight that all peoples from every tribe, from every nation. And right now the fight is for our black brothers and sisters, because for generations in history and recent history, injustices have happened and continue to happen. And God wants to wipe this out. And you can feel this all around the world. And so that we commit to this as a church. And how we do this is we can do this by abiding in God's love, by feeling the transformative power of God's love on the inside of us, and how it builds us. And in his love, he is building the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20-22, it says, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone, In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so that's the church, that in Jesus, and Jesus is the cornerstone, and he is clearly building his church right now. How many people are thankful that Jesus builds his church? He transforms us, he establishes us, and he unites us. I love it. So let's talk about God's love, the width, the depth, the height, and the length. Number one, God's love is wide. God's love, somebody say wide. God's love is wide. This means forgiveness. The enemy wants us to believe that the forgiveness of Jesus is a narrow thing. That he wants us to think that there is some sort of three strikes and you're out system when it comes to God. That if you mess up one too many times, that the narrowness of God and that God's love is narrow, but it's not. It's wide. And like, you know, I have kids. I've got three kids now, and they puke on my clothes and, you know, poop on my clothes and food all over my clothes. And kids make mistakes all the time. But there is no three strikes and you're out when it comes to my kids. I'm going to pick them up again. I'm going to change my shirt, but I'm going to grab them again and I'm going to hug them again. And they're my kids. That is their identity. That is who they are. They are loved by me in my house. And when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, do you know there is no cancel culture in heaven? Do you know that cancel culture does not exist? I mean, God in his judgment, Jesus bore that judgment so that you won't feel it. And I really believe in a church where Christians stop judging one another and Christians stop canceling one another and actually love thy neighbor, in fact, the way that God forgives us. And I believe that when we receive the forgiveness of Jesus, that all we have a choice to do is to pass that forgiveness on to one another. God's love is wide. Psalms 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. Do you know that if you travel to the North Pole, if you pass the North Pole, then all of a sudden you're traveling south. You're no longer traveling north anymore. But the east and the west is significant because you can travel west for forever and ever and ever, and you'll never touch east. And you can travel east forever and ever, and you'll never touch west. And that's how far God removes our transgressions. That's how much forgiveness, that's how wide God's love is. How good is that? And there's only one way to receive forgiveness. It's called repentance. And repentance has a gift attached to it. That the gift is, in Acts chapter 3, that times of refreshing come from repentance. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing will come from the Lord. And repentance is a kneeling thing. Repentance, and Paul kneels in this passage of scripture, and repentance, and I repent every single day. I get down on my knees and I say, Lord, forgive me of my wrongdoings. Forgive me of my sins. Cast it from me in the name of Jesus. I receive your wide love. And every single time I am refreshed. Every single time the rains and the times of refreshing. And if there is someone listening right now and you're like, man, I could really use some times of refreshing in my life, and you want to feel the refreshment of Jesus, I encourage you to turn to God. I encourage you to ask for forgiveness and let the wide love of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ refresh you. How good is that? So God's love is wide. God's love is deep. Somebody say deep. Come on. And Paul lived his life for others. And Paul, this is, he had a deep burden. He gets down on his knees. He gets deep. He's so passionate about the church. He's so passionate about other people. He's so passionate about loving thy neighbor. He's so passionate about that mode, the deep convictions, the depth and the urgency of what it means to be a minister of the love of Jesus. And he only gets that because Christ has such a deep love for you and I. So deep that even Jesus Christ himself came from heaven and came down deep into the sins and the transgressions of the world, and he took on the weight of sin, and because he has a deep cause with your name on it. He has a deep cause. He thought about you. He loved you and so deeply desired that you would be in relationship with the Father in heaven. And so he died for you. And out of that depth of love, out of that conviction of God, that he died for you and I. And that's what we feel when we're reading this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says this: Christ's love compels us not to live for ourselves, but for him. When you live for God, when you experience the depth of God's love, the how much Jesus so loved you that he came and gave his life for you, and you receive the depth of God's love, then you desire to have a deep conviction to love thy neighbor. And this is one of the most powerful things that you and I can receive from God, because it motivates us and it helps us live out of a conviction for one another. Often we text people and we say, you know, I'm praying for you. And, you know, but many times, if we were to be honest, did we actually pray? You know, Paul's on his knees praying for you, praying for the church. When I tell someone I'm praying for them, I actually don't text them if they send me, you know, like, can you pray for me? Can you cover me in this? Need healing and need some prayer. I'm going into this situation or whatever. I don't text them until I'm praying. And then when I text them, I say, I'm praying for you right now. And so many times I would get a response that says, oh my gosh, like I needed that. No, send a scripture or send something or whatever. But just let's not be those people that just use good Christian language and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, I love you. But do we really? Do we really? Having that deep kneeling prayer is, what is kneeling prayer? Kneeling prayer is focused prayer. It's convicted prayer. It's private prayer. You don't often just walk down the street and pray and then get down on your knees. It's private prayer. It's desperate prayer. It's heart bleeding prayer. It's prayer that's moved by grief. It's prayer that's moved by somebody's pain. It's prayer that's moved by somebody's circumstances. It's prayer that Jesus did this all through scripture. Jesus, you do a study on Jesus stooping to his knees when he washes the disciples' feet. That's four other people. He gets down on his knees. Paul was on his knees. When he goes and he reaches out to the Samaritan on the road to Jericho, he gets off his donkey down on his knees. When he acquits the woman caught in the act of adultery, he gets down on his knees twice, writes in the dirt, writes a new identity across her life and frees her and says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. I dare you, because I am down on my knees. I'm living for somebody else. I'm living for this woman. When he was in the garden and he's sweating blood, he's down on his knees because he's receiving the call of his life to die on the cross, to live for other people. Getting down on your knees is taking on someone's burden, is taking on someone's hurt, is taking on someone's pain. And the entire world right now is down on its knees for our black brothers and sisters, saying enough is enough. There is too much pain. There is too much hurt. There is too many unanswered prayers, and there's too much injustice. And this is a deep burden, a deep calling from God, because Jesus, this is the heart of justice from our Lord and Savior Jesus, that we adopt because it needs to be corrected, because enough is enough. And it's this deep kneeling prayer that causes you to intercede and love thy neighbor. It's the heartbeat of Jesus. God's love is wide and God's love is deep and God's love is high. Out of God's love, we know who we are in Jesus. When you look up to heaven, what do you see? You see your Father. When you see your Father, you see your identity. God's love is high. In Ephesians 3, we read it. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family, say it, every family in heaven on earth derives its identity, derives its name. You don't receive who you are from what other people say about you. You don't receive who you are by how people treat you. You don't receive who you are by any other means necessary than the high love of your Heavenly Father in heaven. That when you know and grasp how high God's love is, and that is in fact where you were created from, where you were birthed from, that is in fact the identity of who you are. When you know that every tribe, every tongue, every nation, that our identity is created by God in heaven, when you understand the image of God is the image of yourself, and you understand that identity of who you are in Jesus, that is a high love. There is no love higher than that. Jesus is seated high on the throne, derives its name. This identity means the word origin. Your origin is high. It is a high origin. It is an origin locked up in heaven. And this is where your calling comes from. This is where everything that you are and how to live your life comes from, to grasp this. I love that we're doing the gospel and race course right now at C3 Toronto. And it just talks about how if that we transgress against a brother and sister who's made in the image of God, that we don't just transgress against them, we transgress against the Creator himself. This is such an offense, and this is so wrong, and that because everybody's identity comes from God in heaven, and that to offend somebody is to offend the Creator. And when we understand that we're created in God, we understand scriptures like Isaiah 43 verse 7 that says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for glory. Do you know that you were created for glory? Do you know that your brothers and sisters were created for glory? Do you know that every single person of color on the planet is created for glory? Nothing less. Created for glory. What does that mean? That we are the image bearers of God, that we carry God's image on the inside of us, and that by the way we walk, that the color of our skin bears the glory of Jesus, that the giftings that we carry bear the image of our Father in heaven, that the calling of our life bears the image of God. And because we were created from his glory, and Isaiah 43 says, For whom I formed and made everything that you are. When God created you, when he created creation, he said it was good. When he created you, he said it was very good. He said it was very good. Because there was something about the fingerprint of God that is on your life, that it's on your heart. This is the high love that God has created in, that God's created you in. Grasping the height of God's love is so important because it's grasping your identity. People have treated you less than. People have hurt you. People have accused you, abused you, and people have overlooked you. Right now, God's love is pouring out. His high love is pouring out to heal you, to restore you, and to restore you back to your true identity in him. God's love from the height of heaven has the power to lift us out of every single circumstance. God is seated high above. God is seated high above because he has the high position, the advantage, victory in God in Jesus' name. God's love is wide. God's love is deep. God's love is high. And God's love is long. God's love is lasting. God's love is eternal. It is a long, long, lasting love. In Deuteronomy 31 verse 8, it says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I don't know if that's you right now, if you feel like, man, I fear trusting in God. I fear that at some point, so many people have let me down. So many people have transgressed against me, and I don't know if I trust anymore. Well, I want to tell you that God's love is so long. God's love is eternal, and God's love is the only love that can truly be trusted. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can trust in God. You can trust in the loving arms of the Father. It never runs out. And often we don't trust people, or we don't trust God, because we believe that it will run out. And this is the last love. We need to grasp the length of God's love. We need to grasp that God is a trusting, loving God, and He will never leave us and forsake us. And God will never let you down. And this doesn't mean that you should only trust God and you shouldn't trust people. When we're rooted and grounded in the love of God, people's actions can't betray our trust, because our trust isn't based on what people do. Our trust is based on who God is and what He has done. And when we're grounded in that kind of love, people may treat us well and people may treat us bad. But at the end of the day, it doesn't rattle us. It doesn't shake us, because we're not grounded in the trust and the love of other people. We're grounded in the love of God, number one. And then out of that, we can believe in one another. We can love one another. We can live for one another. And that is a place where, when we're grounded out of that love, that we would know that we're always secure in Jesus. Listen, grasping God's love, that revelation, that place in His presence, is the greatest thing ever. And I don't know who's watching here today, but if you've never really received Jesus, you've never really received true love. If you've never invited Jesus into your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. God loves you, and what I'm trying to do, and what Paul got down on his knees and prayed, is that you would grasp the power of God's love, that you would grasp who you are in Him, that you would grasp the forgiveness of God, that you would grasp your identity, your high calling, that you would grasp that you can trust in your Heavenly Father. God loves you. Will you invite Him into your heart today? And if you could just close your eyes where you are and just consider your relationship with Jesus and ask yourself this question: do I need to invite Him in my heart, either for the first time, or do you need to recommit your life to Jesus? And if that's you, we're going to pray a prayer. And this is a simple prayer that invites God into your life, invites His love into your life, invites what He did on the cross, dying for you, into your life. And if you are someone that wants to pray this prayer, I want you to just go into the comment section and just quickly click the I raise my hand for Jesus. That just gives us an opportunity to acknowledge that you are someone making this decision before heaven. It's the greatest decision that you will ever make. So if that's you here today and you want to pray this prayer, just repeat this after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I thank You that You died on a cross for me. I receive this love for my own. Be my Father and help me follow You as Your child. Be my Savior and be my Lord from this moment on. In Your name, amen."